Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to a Saturday night edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, William Momo. What's up, Mac? What's going on?
Hey, what's up, man? How's it going?
Not much, man. Glad to be here with you, as always.
Yeah, glad to be on, as usual.
And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to this episode. On today's episode, we're going to talk about, as you can hear in the song, we're going to give you our honest review of the newest Ghostbuster movie, the Ghostbusters Frozen Empire movie that just debuted yesterday. I'll give you our honest thoughts on that. We'll also talk to you about you know, our thoughts on the J.D. Martinez signing with the Mets that just went down a few days ago. We'll also preview the, you know, the season, the season openers for both teams coming up this week. Talk about the Knicks beating the Nets earlier today. And everything else that's going on in the world of sports and entertainment. So if you'd like to talk to any, if you'd like to talk to any of us, please feel free to call us at 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So again, feel free to talk about any of these topics or more. We'd love to hear from you. But with that said, let's lead off with the Mets signing J.D. Martinez. You know, the Mets, they've had a off season. It wasn't as splashy as they've had in the past couple of years when they, you know, they signed Max Scherzer and Verlander two consecutive years. You know, last year and 2 years ago, along with some other players that they signed, you know, these past couple of years. But you know, unfortunately, it didn't pan out both times. I mean, you know, the 2002 team, you know, obviously won 100 games, but they just burned out in the first round, you know, getting their butt kicked by the Padres. And they've never bounced back from it. So as a result, this past year, you know, they tried to bounce back, but they got, you know, even worse, which led to, you know, the Mets trading away Scherzer, trading away Verlander, and ultimately firing Buck Showalter, you know, at the end of the year. You know, despite having a winning record in the combined two seasons of his tenure, you know. But, you know, as a result, the Mets, you know, they cleaned house. They hired the former Yankee bench coach, Carlos Martinez. Carlos Mendoza, I mean to say. So, yeah, they hired him. A guy who had a lot of experience being, you know, Aaron Boone's bench guy. But, yeah, this is his first time managing a team. And then, of course, the Mets made some, you know, some shrewd moves that could pay off in the end if these players stay healthy, you know, signing Luis Severino. I think it was a one-year, $13 million contract. You know, they're banking on him bouncing back from his worst year in his career last year. They signed Sean Manaea, the former A's, the former Giant. You know, they're hoping he can bounce back from the improvements he made towards the end of the year. So they're hoping he can bounce back to his old form. Trying to think who else did they get. They traded for Adrian Hauser from the Brewers. And, you know, they think he could be a good, you know, fourth or fifth starter. Quintanilla, he's back from last year. They're expecting him to, you know, pitch well. You know, he did well in the postseason a few years ago with the Cardinals. So the Mets are hoping, you know, he could continue that trend. But, you know, unfortunately, the Senga injury, you know, the guy they really counted on, you know, the ace of the staff, you know, a guy who was this close, you know, to winning the Rookie of the Year last year. And, you know, he got some Cy Young votes. But obviously he didn't win. That award would go to Blake Snell, who recently signed a 2-year deal with the Giants. You know, the Mets, easily the biggest move they made was, you know, getting J.D. Martinez at a bargain. 1 year, $12 million contract for a six-time All-Star, a guy who made the All-Star games five of the last 6 years. You know, a guy who has, over 300 home runs and over 1,000 RBIs, a good hitter, good clutch hitter, won a championship with the 2018 Boston Red Sox. Yeah, man, this guy had, you know, he had a great career. And the reason why he turned down the Giants, who offered him a better deal, a 1 year, $15 million contract. But instead he took, you know, the 1 year, $12 million contract, and it's deferred. So the Mets are only going to pay him $4.5 million this year. And then when it becomes, I think, 2034 to 2038, if I'm not mistaken, you know, he's going to get paid deferred money, Bobby Bonilla style. So, you know, we shall see what happens. You know, the Mets are getting a premier slugger at a beyond reasonable price. And Mackey, I mean, you have some, you know, history with him being with the Red Sox. What's your thoughts on this signing?
I think it's a great signing for the Mets. I think J.D. Martinez is definitely going to add some power and pop to that lineup. He's gonna pretty much serve as he's a good backup for Alonso in that lineup. You know, him batting behind Alonso at cleanup. Now you might see more opportunities for Alonso, maybe. You know, you might see maybe his batting average goes up too with J.D. Martinez batting behind him. But I think it's great for the offense. You know, the Mets needed that one. They need another guy in that lineup to do some damage, and they got Martinez. And Martinez is a veteran. He's been in the league for over a decade, I think. Maybe close to 15 years, I believe.
Yeah, this is his, I think, 14th year, I think, in the big leagues.
Yeah, so you got a veteran guy. You know, he's a winner. He won the championship with the Red Sox. And this guy, he's going to be not only he's going to provide a boost to the offense, he's going to provide a boost to the clubhouse. Well, with his, you know, him being a veteran and helping the younger guys, I think this was a big signing for the Mets.
I couldn't say it better myself. I mean, this is a signing that they really needed. I mean, you know, they tried to do that with Correa, but he was, you know, injured. This is the veteran guy who has championship experience, good clubhouse guy. You know, this is the move that they needed. And Pete Alonso heavily recruited him secretly to come to the Mets as J.D. Martinez had a brief press conference, you know, to talk to the media. And he admitted that Pete Alonso, was talking to, because they shared the same agent. So, you know, Pete was a huge factor in him signing. You know, they're both represented by Scott Boras. So, this deal is thanks to Pete Alonso. Now he has, some protection. So, Martinez was saying that, that Alonso was very forward in making it known to them that he wanted, you know, him to be there.
Yeah.
And Alonso was basically saying that, he didn't only sign him for, you know, for himself, you know, for the protection of the, you know, in the lineup, but to help everybody out, you know, because, the guy You know, he lengthens the lineup. I mean, this guy, you know, he a good clubhouse guy. You know, he's a mentoring type of, you know, individual. Like he literally mentored Mark Vientos, the guy who he's basically taking his spot on the DH spot. You know, I found out that they both trained together too before he signed, you know, with the Mets.
Wow.
So, yeah, basically, yeah, he revealed the reasons why he took the Mets instead of the San Francisco's deal. Yeah, because one, you know, the Mets would give him a better chance to win, and two, he, you know, the pitcher's ballpark in San Francisco would affect his offense. So yeah, he said, if I go there and I hit 260 with 20 home runs, people are gonna say I'm old and washed up and I'm kind of done, and I'm just gonna find myself out of the game. I wanted to give myself the best opportunity to continue my career in baseball. San Fran is a tough ballpark, especially when you go the other way there. City Field is not like that. Most fields aren't. And
interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, the guy who signed him, David Stearns, the new president of you know, baseball operations, if you remember, Martinez started his career with the Astros, but he didn't become JD Martinez at that point. He was struggling his first couple of 3 years in the league, to the point that the assistant GM named David Stearns, yes, that the same David Stearns who's now the president of Mets baseball operations, fired him. And you know, at the time, you know, he thought, you know, that was a, you know, a horrible, you know, decision being fired, but, you know, it ended up being a blessing in disguise, you know. And Martinez said, you know, he recently joked to him about it, Stearns about it. He said, last time I came into this office with you, like he reminded him that he got fired, but he, you know, but it's cool, you know, it was a blessing. And, you know, that's how we got to look at things, you know, because, you know, you never know how, you know, how life will take it, you know,
mm-hmm.
will turn, you know. If you just focus on it now and the horrible situation, you know, you never know what blessings could be waiting for you on the other side of the door. You know, you got to walk through the opportunity.
That's right.
Presents itself. So, like, him getting, you know, basically released from the Dodgers or traded. I'd have to see what happened specifically, but him being gone from the Astros led to him to, I think, sign with the Tigers and what was it, Brewers, and, you know, some other teams. And, you know, basically he was able to, you know, make a name for himself, and, you know, now he's still in the league. So, you know, props to him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm excited with the move. You know, as a result, because he missed the whole spring training, basically, he's going to have to start the season in the minors to get himself, back in his
baseball
old
form.
Hitting form. But yeah, this is a huge signing. This was a much needed win and a victory, you know, signing for the Mets. And, you know, again, like I was saying, you know, he got released by the Astros, like, practically, like, 10 years ago, actually. He apparently got released March 22nd, 2014. And, you know, as a result, he signed with the Tigers, and you know, that's what he that change of scenery is what he needed to you know, to make a name for himself. So yeah, man, let's go Mets. You know,
you should be you should sound more excited, Will, for some reason.
I'm excited. I just wish they, you know, they need to get one more pitcher. I mean, they have some good minor league pitchers in the minors. Scott, Vassell, Sprout. They have a couple of you know, good pitchers in the system. I mean, I'm cautiously excited. You know what I mean? Because you know they got, you know, we have the Braves, we have the Phillies, you know. But this was the move they needed to do to help out the offense. So yeah, with this signing, you know, they have a chance. They definitely got a chance if they stay healthy and play to their potential. You know, they got a chance, you know, to make the playoffs and, hey, maybe go on the run like the D-backs did. But, you know, we shall see. But to me, I think the move they need to do is try to see if they could get Montgomery on the cheap, you know, like they did with him, you know, because that's they weren't going to get Martinez if his you know, price range didn't drop, because Mets, you know, they're trying to save their money for next year when the crop of free agents are going to be better. You know, headline with Max Fried from the Braves. So, you know, we'll see how it goes, you know, with the Mets. So, you know, with that, I think, you know, they'll be a playoff team. I mean, I hope they win the division, but most likely with the Braves and the Phillies, they'll probably most likely finish second or third, you know, realistically. Maybe winning probably about 88 wins, perhaps, you know, and, you know, hopefully they can shock the world, man. It's been almost 40 years since they won a title. So, hopefully, you know, they're on the right track. And also important, they re-signed Pete Alonso. So, that's definitely what they need to do. So yeah, what's your thoughts on the Mets this upcoming season?
Yeah, I mean, you know, getting J.D. Martinez definitely helps the offense, but there's still a lot of question marks with the Mets. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as pitching, who's going to be your number one starter? Is Severino going to be the guy?
It's Campanillo.
Yeah, but is he really a number one guy though? Is he an ace, you know?
Well, they're expecting Senga to pop up, come back after maybe a month or two or so.
Then you think that's going to be your number? You think that's going to be your ace?
Again,
there's question marks on who the ace is going to be on this team. I hear some people saying Severino, you know? And then you're talking about, what's his name?
Manaya?
No, you just said his name. I'm forgetting his name already.
Senga?
You just said his name, that he's going to come back to be the ace.
Yeah, Senga.
Senga? Okay. So you're talking about him. So, you know, right now there's question marks on the pitching. Who's going to be the true ace of this team? I think Severino has the potential.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was the guy for the Yankees for a few years there before the injuries. And I think he can reestablish himself, and he's pitching in, you know, same market as he's been pitching for years. Mm-hmm. So I think he could be that guy, but you know, we'll see if he just has to stay healthy. You know, that's the big thing with Severino, stay healthy and once he's healthy, he's he can be one of the best pitchers in the game, to me.
Absolutely.
So yeah. I think Severino has the potential to be your ace. The other guys that you're mentioning, those are question marks to me, but we'll see. But as far as this Mets team, I think you guys could win anywhere from 85 to 90 games, realistically.
Mm-hmm.
You have a good enough team to compete. Now, as far as making the World Series, I'm not going to go that far yet, you know, because you still have some question marks, but we'll see.
Absolutely. I think they definitely, to me, for me to, like, be more confident in them, I think they need to, like, they need to sign somebody like Jordan Montgomery, somebody who has postseason and World Series experience and success. Then I'll be more optimistic, you know, with their
There's also Snell. Snell is also out there as well, so don't forget about him.
No, Snell signed a 2-year deal with the Giants.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
So, yeah.
That's right. So now only remains Montgomery, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to go to you guys, so, I mean.
Oh, let's hope so. You know, I'm hoping that he can come back to the Yankees. If not, then he's going to have to go with what we have right now.
Yeah, and that's essentially what the Mets are doing, too. They're going to go with what they have. You know, they got Senga, who pitched brilliantly as a rookie, you know, a guy who almost could have won the Cy Young and the Rookie of the Year last year. So he had an ERA, what, under 3? So, I mean, he struck out the second most batters in Mets history after Doc. So, I mean, he had a phenomenal season as a rookie coming right out of Japan. It's a shame he got hurt. So, you know, hopefully he can bounce back, live up to the hype that he set last year. And like you said, Severino, he has the potential to be an ace as well. You know, he has a lot of success in New York with the Yankees. Minaya, you know, he was a great pitcher with ace starting out. You know, I think he even threw a no-hitter or two early on in his career. So, I mean, he has that potential. So, I mean, yeah, but for me, they need a guy with postseason success and experience. That's what this team is lacking, in my opinion, you know. So you know, time will tell. But, yeah, shifting gears to you guys, the Yankees, they got a lot of potential power. You know, they got, obviously, Judge, if he can stay healthy. Giancarlo Stanton, you know, he lost some weight and hit 3 home runs in spring training. You know, he looked like he got his old mojo back. And, of course, you got Juan Soto, who some people think, might be a future Met after this offseason if he doesn't sign an extension with the Yankees. So they got a very powerful offense right there. What's your thoughts on the coming year?
Yeah, the Yankees, that line has a lot of potential on paper. Juan Soto batting behind Judge, and then you got Stanton, who lost weight, as you mentioned. He's been tearing it up like a Jenna Jameson video. In the spring training.
I see you're very excited for this upcoming season.
Yeah. I'm not making it too big of a deal of those 3 home runs he hit the other day, because at the end of the day, it's still spring training, you know.
We'll see.
Yeah,
save it for the regular season.
April, you know, when the season begins, you know, save it for then. But, we'll see. You know, we'll see. Yankees, just like the Mets, they also have some question marks. You got Gerrit Cole, who's going to be out for a while with inflammation in his arm. And, you know, Gerrit Cole, I mean, who's going to step up behind him? You know, is it going to be Nestor Cortez, who had some injuries last year? Is it going to be, I'm forgetting his name from the Giants. Forgetting his name again. Remind me, Will. I forget his name. We got him last year.
You're talking about Montas, right?
Is it Montas?
Or did Montas leave you guys? Okay, let me try to remember.
No, it's not. It's not Montas.
Rodon.
There you go. Rodon. I mean, hopefully Rodon pitches better. I mean, he was a bust last year, to be honest with you. So hopefully he can pitch last year. So there's some question marks, you know, with the Yankees pitching. I mean, the offense on paper looks really good. But we'll see if it translates to the field. And also for the pitcher, we have to see how Stroman pitches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he looks like he can be a third, fourth guy for us in that pitching staff. Back at New York market. Let's see if he can redeem himself and pitch well. So, you know, it's going to be a season of question marks for both teams.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope the Yankees can play better than they did last year and make the postseason and hopefully become World Series contenders again, you know. Because I know Steinbrenner has been rolling in his grave for the last decade or so for this team to make moves to try to win a championship. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what the season has in store for both teams.
Yeah, that's what Strawberry was talking about recently in a recent interview he was doing. Let me see what he was saying. He was basically saying, like, Steinbrenner wouldn't be happy, the state of the Yankees, they're, the way how they're not, they don't have the organization doesn't have that same passion and drive, to help, help them win the championship as George did.
Yeah, I don't think they've done. I mean, there's a lot of moves that they could have done in the past 10 to 15 years to improve this team, and they didn't do it, you know. So, yeah, I mean, Steinbrenner definitely would have made this team would have definitely won a championship in the 2010s if Steinbrenner was still here.
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely true. Because after they would have went like 5 years or so without winning anything, he would have definitely referred back to his old ways of like really having them like go for it.
Yeah.
So yeah,
that's what you want out of an owner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what we thought Uncle Steve was gonna do for the Mets, and it's looking like he's starting to get back to that a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Although we still question those moves with the Verlander and Scherzer, yeah. Those were questionable trades, but let's see if they can try to go after Soto if Yankees don't re-sign him after this year.
And speaking of like I was mentioning Strawberry, he was asked which team, he thinks is better, the 86 team or the 98 Yankees, since, him and Gooden were on both teams. Which team do you think he think is better? Would be
98 and who?
98 Yankees versus the 86 Mets.
Oh, the 86 Mets. He'd probably say 86 Mets because he's more of a Met than a Yankee.
Yeah,
I'd say he'd probably go with the 86 Mets.
Yeah, him and Gooden said that. Yep, you're correct. Strawberry said I would say the 86 Mets. We had such a different way about us. We intimidated teams. Teams hated playing us. They knew if they came into Shea for a four-game series, they'd be lucky if they won one. If they get one win out because we don't let up on teams. And then Gooden agreed and said, I'll take the 86 because of the heart. On paper, the Yankees look better, but you play on the field. I say it would go 7 and the Mets would win. You as a Yankee fan, I'm assuming you would disagree with that.
Oh, I would disagree with that, but, it's it's different eras. You got the 80s Mets, you got the 90s Yankees. pitching, the pitching, I would give the Yankees the pitching edge, actually, if that matchup did occur, did happen. I think the Yankees had better pitching.
Over Doc Gooden in his prime?
Yes, but remember, Yankees, look who Yankees had on that team. David Wells, who had one of his best seasons as a Yankee.
Of course, yeah.
Andy Pennant.
Cone, of course, yeah.
Cone.
Mm-hmm.
Those three alone were better. I'm talking about just the pitching. Just the pitching, the Yankees pitching staff. You guys had Gooden. Okay, the one top guy. Who else after Gooden?
Bobby Ojeda. You had Darling. You had numerous guys. Even Sid Fernandez, a guy who would be considered the weakest link on paper, but when you face him, he has deceptive stuff.
Yeah, but Yankees had some. They had some clutch postseason pitchers. I didn't even mention El Duque. I didn't even mention El Duque yet. In that pitch.
Yeah.
These guys would shut down the Mets staff. That's what they did during that run from 1996 to 2001, whatever it was. Yeah, the pitchers were shut down pitchers. You know, they got Cone, Wells, Andy Pettit, El Duque. Clemens was on the 98 team.
Was he?
Clemens was 99. So, but that team was stacked offensively, and offensively they were. You know, I'd probably give a slight edge to the Mets, actually, offensively. You know, we had Tino, Derek Jeter, Bernie Williams. I mean, it'll be close. It'll be a close series.
Mm-hmm.
It'll definitely be a close series, but pitching, no. I think Yankees have an edge over there in pitching.
I'd give the edge offensively slight to the Mets. Pitching-wise, even though the pitching, you said.
We have Mariano to close the game.
But,
so that's
see, this, that's what I was going to see. You got me to the point. Starting pitching, it's really close because you got a lot. We both got iconic pitchers. You know, slight edge with the Mets perhaps, but pitching bullpen wise, Mariano Rivera. I mean, you got to give the bullpen to you guys easily. So. Right there. I mean, obviously, Orozco was.
And Darryl was on the 98 team also, so.
Yeah.
Although he wasn't he wasn't, of course, putting up the numbers like he did on the 86 Mets.
And Gooden was on that team too, wasn't he?
Gooden, no, he was in and out, I think, that year.
I believe so.
Yeah, he was in and out. But he didn't have that perfect game in 96. Can't forget that.
Right. But yeah, it's interesting, you know, coming from people who literally were part of both teams, obviously. It's an interesting insight on that.
Yeah, yep. Yes, sir.
But yeah, let's shift gears to another team that we both can agree on, you know. We both love our Mets. I love my Mets. You love your Yankees, but you know, we both can come into agreement when it comes to the New York Knicks. And the Knicks...
We are the New York Knicks.
Yep. We are the New York Knicks. They whooped the Brooklyn Nets. What was it like? I'm trying to remember the final score. It was like 102-84 or something like that. And... Jalen Brunson, I think he had, 17 points, perhaps. But
yeah, Brunson had Brunson had about 17 points, 8 assists, but the
DiVincenzo.
DiVincenzo, he was the star of the game.
And McBride, too.
McBride's been playing well all year, man.
Mm-hmm.
He has filled in the shoes of Quickly nicely.
Yep. He quickly replaced Quickly.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, both those guys, DiVincenzo and Deuce, they combined for 57 points. DiVincenzo scored 31 in 41 minutes. Um, Let me see. What did Deuce have?
26.
Oh yeah, Deuce had 26. And Harkenstein, you know, he had 17 points on 8 of 10 shooting. So yeah, it's team effort right there. Props to the Knicks, man. They had a great road trip. You know, obviously they got their butt kicked at the tail end of it against the defending world champion Nuggets. But the Knicks are, you know, they're getting back to their winning ways of this year, you know. Props
to them. They've been playing some good defense too.
Mhm. Yeah. Lately, before the Nuggets beat them, they held like at least five games where the opposition had like less than 100 points. One of the games they did lose because they scored 74 points or so. But yeah, they had like five straight games where they had held the opponents to like less than 100 points. I think maybe 4 out of 5 they won it. But yeah, I mean, you know, props to the Knicks. You know, they're doing their thing.
You know, right now they're trying to hold on. Well, right now they're competing in the standings for either the second, third, fourth, or fifth spot. Because from 2 to 5, it's up for grabs right now. You have Milwaukee, mm-hmm. Cleveland, Magic, and the Knicks all battling for the 2 seed. So, you know, we'll see how these next 10 to 12 games turn out. Because right now the Knicks can take it because the Knicks have an easy schedule coming up here, which included mm-hmm. the game against the Nets today. So the Knicks can hold fort. They could see themselves in second place maybe.
Hopefully. Yeah, let's see the upcoming schedule for the Knicks. They're going to be facing Monday night. They're going to be facing the Pistons. Which is the same night The Rock's going to be coming on Monday Night Raw. But we'll get into wrestling, you know, very shortly. Wednesday night, they're going to be in Toronto against the Raptors. Friday night, they're going to San Antonio to face the Spurs. Sunday, they're going to host the Thunder. And then Tuesday night, next Tuesday night, the 2nd, this is not April Fool's joke, you know, even though this is a day after April Fool's, they're going to face the Heat, you know, in Miami. So, they have some easy games on the schedule. But you know they are going to the Heat's gonna be a tough one coming up. Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Going
down the wire here.
What you said?
We're going down the wire.
Not many
weeks left in the season, in the NBA season. So playoffs are coming right around the corner.
Yep. Yeah, they're even gonna face the Bucks in Milwaukee the night two of WrestleMania. So yeah, that's gonna be another interesting matchup as well. So hopefully the Knicks can keep this momentum going. Cause they've had some big wins. They had that big win against the Warriors, the Kings, Trailblazers, 76ers on the road. They just gotta keep this momentum going. But yeah, let's shift gears to wrestling. And congratulations to Edge. Which, you know, he's now going by his real name, Adam Copeland. He defeated Christian, his former WWE tag team partner and longtime, you know, best friend in real life. You know, they had a match in their hometown of Toronto, and Adam Copeland got the victory to capture that TNT championship for the second time of his career. And, you know, the title was, you know, that that match was very important to him because, he beat his best friend in their hometown, you know. So, yeah, that's a night he'll never forget. Let me read what he said. Tonight was the kind of night that you dream of. When you first get into this, when you decide to dedicate your life to this, you dream of nights like this. You know your hometown against a man that you've known for 40 years, in my opinion, has lost his way. And to get that kind of match, that war, it wasn't even a match. To hear that audience, to hear them sing my music to me, man, to have my family here, to have my buddies from school, my buddies from college, it's just one of those nights that I will take, to the grave. I guess he was trying to say, I will take to my grave. He was trying to say, but you know, congrats to him, the Rated R superstar. Congrats to him.
You miss him in WWE?
Do I miss him in WWE?
Do you think he should? You think WWE should have kept him?
I think WWE wanted to keep him, but it's him that decided to leave because he wanted to end his career, you know, facing Christian and, you know, have matches with people he never faced, you know?
Yeah.
I think he made the right decision, you know? I mean, if Christian was still in WWE, then it would have made more sense for him to stay. But, I mean, he literally did everything he needed to do in WWE. I'm cool with him going to AEW. I don't see it like, he's a traitor. You know, he was in WWE all these years and, you know, he left. No, I sincerely, think, he made a valid point. You know, he wanted to end his career and, you know, face Christian and, you know, potentially maybe have his last match with him. I mean, down the road. I mean, we'll see. But, yeah, I think it was a good move for him. You know, he spent like 9 or 10 years forced retirement, and you know, now he's back, kind of like Daniel Bryan, or Bryan Danielson, as you know his real name is. He goes by, you know, again, and Soraya, formerly known as Paige. All three of them. Even Christian. I mean, they were forced to retire because of the injuries they had, and now they all have a new lease on life in AEW. So, you know, congrats to all of them. And trying to think, what else? In WWE, Cody Rhodes had the face-off with Roman Reigns, and if you remember, Roman Reigns told him not to come alone and not bring anybody, which, you know, obviously Cody Rhodes went to confront him face to face, and then Roman Reigns revealed to him that, you know, that he was a fool to come alone. So then Solo Sikoa and Jimmy were going to attack him, but then he revealed that Seth Rollins and main event Jey Uso were in the audience too. to even the playing field. So it basically was a standstill, even though WWE was hyping it up as, you know, Cody Rhodes got the better of him. But in actuality, he just evened the playing field. I mean, if Jey Uso and Seth Rollins came out with a weapon, then I could have said, yeah, okay, they have the upper hand. But, I mean, they just literally evened the playing field. So that SmackDown ended in a literal standstill, you know. Congrats to the Street Profits. They have fans in the tournament, so they're going to face – they defeated AOP on SmackDown, so they're going to face, I think, Grayson Waller and what's his name, Austin Theory, so that for the number one contendership, so they could face Judgment Day for the title.
Rest in peace to Angelo Dawkins' mom. I heard his mom passed away.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that. Rest in peace to Angelo Dawkins' mom. I didn't know that. That's messed up.
Yeah. By the way, have you seen Montez Ford and Bianca Belair's show?
No, I haven't seen it yet. Is it good?
I haven't seen it either. That's what I was asking.
Well, I guess we both have to watch it and give our thoughts on it.
Yeah. I saw a clip where he was getting her a massage while she was sitting down, and then he pulled off her hat, and then the wig was connected to the whole hat. And he was kind of surprised, but he was cracking jokes on her.
Mm.
He saw, they look like a fun couple.
Yeah, they look like they generally love each other.
Yeah, black excellence.
What else? I'm trying to think what else happened. Oh, yeah, well, like I said, The Rock's going to return Monday Night Raw in Brooklyn. So that should be interesting. But no doubt about that. This upcoming week is going to be the last week before WrestleMania. The next week after this upcoming week is WrestleMania week right there. So that should be definitely interesting. Jade Cargill is officially a member of SmackDown. Bron Breakker, he's officially SmackDown as well. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I forgot to cover. Oh, yes. The Ghostbuster movie. Me and you, we saw it on Friday night. Both me and you, you know, we've been huge fans of the Ghostbuster franchise for decades, even before we even knew each other. Fan of the TV, the cartoons, the movies. So, we both, like we did with the previous movie, the Afterlife movie, we both went to the theaters, and I guess we'll give you our thoughts. I thought the movie was really good. I mean, there were some parts I felt could have been better. I mean, you know, there was no Dana in the movie. Rick Moranis, you know, didn't reprise his role as totally as expected, but it was a good movie. Trying to remember that actor, it's like something could Jimmy or something. What was I gonna say? Yeah, let me get his name right, but butcher it. Kumali Nanjiani. He had a great role in that the movie. It was the return of, you know, Paul Rudd, Carrie Coon, Finn Wolfhard, McKenna Grace. Solis O'Connor and Logan Kim, the characters, you know, the actors, they reprised their roles, you know, Gary and you know, all the other, you know, the main characters from the other episode, you know, from the Afterlife movie. And, you know, basically, I mean, it was good. But the most important thing is, you know, they're back in New York, and the original Ghostbusters were there. They had a more prominent role in the film. And they even brought back the villain from the first movie, Walter Peck. But now he is the mayor. So, yeah, I thought it was a good movie. You know, Trevor and Phoebe had their coming-of-age movie, coming-of-age, you know, in New York. And, you know, kind of, you know, having their teenage issues with, you know, their mother, Callie, which, you know, of course is the daughter of Egon Spengler from the first movie. So, yeah, they did that, you know, that aspect of the movie was good. I just wish they would have acknowledged Egon a little bit more in the movie. I mean, I know they gave him his tribute and send-off in the Afterlife movie, but I just felt they could have touched on a little bit more, like maybe even named the fireplace after him, you know? But all in all, I thought it was a great movie, very funny. But yeah, Mac, what was your thoughts on the movie?
I thought it was a very good movie as well. You know, I like the fact that they had the OG cast battle. They brought back the former cast to engage in that battle with the with that demon ghost at the end there. I thought that was brilliant. But yeah, I'm with you. You know. Should have paid homage. Should have did a homage to Kurt Rambis's character. Although they did, I mean, they did do that in the previous film a
right.
little bit. But I thought they were gonna do that, especially in that scene.
The
chess scene. I'm not gonna spoil it too much, but
yeah,
I thought that's when, you know, he was gonna appear as a ghost.
I thought so too,
but that didn't happen. So, but you know, hey, you know, I'm thinking there's going to be a third film. So you might see that in the next film, and you might see Rick Moranis' character make a return then, and maybe Sigourney Weaver's character make a return. So there's still a chance. You got to be optimistic.
See, Rick Moranis come back, but I think he's legit, like done with acting, you know, because
you never know, man. Never say never.
You never know. I mean, he did pop up for that Boost Mobile. What was that? Was it Boost Mobile? Whatever company, what's his name? Ryan Reynolds owned. He did do a cameo in that commercial. So
yeah, you never know.
Anything's possible. I think there's a 99% chance, you know, he doesn't come back. But hey, you never know.
But overall, I think it was a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not gonna spoil too much for you guys, but yeah, if I were to rate it, I would give it about an 8.
Mm-hmm.
Eight and a half, I think.
Yeah, me personally, I give it 8.5. It was really really good, but yeah, there were some few things I felt was lacking, you know, which I touched upon a bit. But, yeah, all in all, I would definitely highly recommend to go see it. If you're a fan of Ghostbusters, I'd definitely recommend you check it out, for sure. And the villain they fought was called Garaka. Definitely check out the movies, for sure. Anything else you'd like to talk about before we head out?
That's about it, really.
Mm-hmm.
Check out my show, iMac, every Saturdays at 11. I mean, Saturdays at 10.
Right.
Check your local listing for that and come back here. Check out Sports Serving Legend every Saturdays at 11. Only on Block Talk Radio.
You're the man. Check out his show, iMac, every Saturdays at 10. Check your local listings for that. And, of course, always check out Sports Serving Legend every Saturdays at 11. Only on Block Talk Radio. So come back next week. We'll give you our preview and predictions for WrestleMania. So please feel free to come back, and I'll give you my review on so far of the X-Men 97, how the show is going so far, especially the series premiere. So we'll talk about that more next week. With that said, thank you all, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to this episode. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Memo, and I'll see you guys next week. So definitely check out the Ghostbuster film. Peace.
like the girls too.